Can we begin? Yeah, okay. So thanks everyone for joining us today for the business update of Q4 FY15. We'll follow the usual format. Rajesh will give an overview of how business has been this quarter, and then we'll open the floor for questions. This event is being webcast as we speak. There's a live webcast, and an audio archive as well as a transcript will be made available on our website after the event. So that is the documentation for this. As usual, anything that we say today which could be construed as forward-looking, you need to see all of these in conjunction with the risks that the business faces. So we have outlined all of these risks in the second slide of the presentation, which is also uploaded on our website, and which those who are watching the live webcast can see on the screen at the moment. So with that, I think I'll request Rajesh to start the proceedings. Thanks.
Thanks, Kedar, and welcome to all of you. I'll quickly summarize Q4 and then take Q&A. So Q4 revenue, we expect it to be in line with the past Q4 trends of last year. On an IT basis, we expect BFS to be in line. Retail, manufacturing, and high tech will see some amount of better growth as they're recovering from a muted Q3. We expect to see continued weakness in insurance, primarily intelligent and insurance, and also in the energy vertical, which we have been speaking about for some time now. Telecom is also actually continuing to lag.
The next slide on that. On the presentation, the next slide.
So the first one, you want to inform us on?
Can you just confirm if the webcast is on?
I think why don't you ask? So, yeah, hello.
And you can continue then.
So as I was saying, from an IP perspective, BFS in line. We expect continued weakness in diligent and insurance. We can't even blow it up.
Yeah, it's on.
It's on? Yeah. It doesn't go into presentation mode.
Can this be expanded? Yeah. Full screen. Yeah. Perfect. Thanks.
So that was the summary on the IP side. From a geography perspective, not much different per se. Europe continues to do better than the others, and not much to call out on the other geographies. Similarly, in the SP side also, ITIS will continue to do better. Everything else is pretty much in line with the overall growth. On the currency side, we are likely to see a lot of volatility, subject to the natural caveat that this is based on the numbers as we see today, based on Jan and Feb. We are likely to see a currency impact of almost 275 bits between CC2 reported INR and almost negative 200 between CC2 reported USD. At current levels, expecting if it closes out in this form, we expect a EBIT level hit due to currency of 40 basis points. So again, these are fairly large numbers, so caveat is it's based on what we see based on Jan and Feb and where we are today, subject to a lot of change as to what happens in March. Similarly, with the same caveat, the hedging impact based on our current positions is a positive impact of about 150 to 200 crores, which we report after the EBIT line. Our target EBIT margin band remains unchanged, subject to what the volatility that March could introduce to it, but no significant structural change to it. With that, I'll open it up for questions.
Just a couple of questions. Just to clarify, how come 275 basis points impacts margins only by 40 bps?
See, what is happening is the we have some positive. See, the big impact is coming from your euro and partially from the GBP. On the other side, we have some positive side of it.
And any further insights into budgets for this year? Do you expect trends to be trends in the sense that the spending patterns to be different this year versus last year?
We will talk about it in more detail in April, post the March results. Jan and Sub has started off slightly on a slow basis, but I think it is better that we wait to see how March pans out, and then we'll give you a commentary about the year in April.
You had Ravi?
Yeah, Ravi.
One is, you know, when you say retail would be returning to growth, are we looking at mid to high digits or should we say mid-single digits kind of growth?
I don't want to get that specific, but we have seen some amount of weakness in retail last quarter, as you see. So we expected better than company average in this quarter.
And on the BFS side, do you think that clients have, you know, enough visibility and confidence in their budgets to make large capex decisions, multi-year ones like core banking replacement and stuff like that?
I'd rather let's keep this commentary today to Q4, and we'll leave the, like Anantha was also asking about the full year side of it. We'll leave it for April, but I think March is a better one to judge it and talk about it.
So I could ask on the hiring, you know, this year's hiring seems to have been skewed a little towards laterals, even if you exclude the overseas hiring. So is that part of the reason why, you know, employee costs have nudged up slightly? And, you know, do you think that that will be the case again this quarter as well?
No, in fact, as you are aware, we gave industry-leading salary hikes last year, and partially that contributed to the higher employee cost. But the overall cost equation was also kept in mind in terms of the our ability to manage margins within the target band. The decision between laterals and fresher is a fairly dynamic decision. I don't think that has contributed significantly to this. It is more in terms of our decision on the salary hike.
Mid-quarter update, how is it right now?
The actually, overall sentiment I would say is positive, but remember that we are downstream players in it. So first the investments have to come on the ground and then we will see participation. So the sentiment is definitely positive, but how India will pan out in this quarter, we'll have to wait and see. As of now, we think it is flattish or maybe slightly positive. We're not seeing any runaway growth in India. So we'll wait. But then India for Q4, March is a big month because a lot of that happens in March. We'll have to see how that works on. To summarize, sentiment is definitely positive and it, the momentum is definitely positive. On ground, actual investments and spends, we'll have to wait for some time is what we think.
How does the order pipeline look like sitting now versus 12 months back?
Again, I would like to keep this commentary specific to this quarter, and that's the way we play it out. This is a mid-quarter update on this. We'll talk about the overall pipeline and the overall sentiment in our April update.
You just said that the Jan-Feb has started slightly slower. So this is what we anticipated in terms of YOY change versus what it has to be in 2014 versus 2015. Is it any drastic change from what you witnessed in Jan-Feb?
No change from last year, but then the same thing. I mean, as we have said, that the expectation is of an acceleration. That so vis-a-vis that, we are saying it's a bit soft. So if you were to compare it to last year to this year, probably it is similar. But then last year didn't also accelerate out the way we actually expected it to.
Versus what we anticipated in the January in the conference call, versus that a slight deceleration?
not a deceleration, but lack of acceleration maybe.
Just one bookkeeping, you said that Q4 largely to be in line with Q4 of earlier years. So should we take it FY15 or even beyond?
No, last year. Last year is what I meant.
And this 150, the translation related loss also, right?
The translation loss, I don't know exactly what you mean, but translation loss for us, we report it into the operating line. Right. So till the operating line, it is the actual raw number.
Right.
All impact of hedging is taken after the operating line. And the accumulated impact of hedging, both receivables and revenue, is...
Because the question is this forex impact or hedging impact?
Yeah.
Oh, it's forex impact, yeah, including receivables and revenue hedging.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
In fact, I missed putting telecom here.
Yeah.
Telecom continues to be volatile, unfortunately. As you have said, telecom is it is regional. So this time around, some amount of weakness coming in from the emerging market side of it. Europe is better, but emerging markets dragging it down. So telecom is likely to come in weaker than company average in this quarter. But and that has to be kept in mind. As we said, it's a bit of a volatile one. This quarter telecom is going to come in weaker than company average.
Okay.
I think we missed that in the bullets. Yep.
Client specific issues in BFS. I don't know if you've already commented on it, but are you seeing anything of that nature in any of the clients?
No client specific issues. Not in BFS. We see overall weakness in insurance, but again, I wouldn't call it client-specific. It's fairly across the board in insurance. BFS is fine. It's in line on average.
And the underlying trend in demand for Europe continues to be strong outside of FX? Outside of currency impact, the underlying demand trend in Europe, does it continue to be healthy?
It continues to be healthy, relatively better than the company average. It will also have its own seasonality, but it is continues to be better than company, much better than company average.
I guess it's too early to see any discretionary projects in this quarter. It's unlikely to be a quarter you see that much.
Yes. Typically, it's not a quarter where we see too much of discretion. So we don't expect service lines like install and all. It is not a quarter where they will do significantly better. They typically do better in the June and September quarters. So this quarter also, that trend is not likely to change.
I know you're not making comments about FY16, but there was some, I think, sales cycle lengthening in the last quarter. Has that eased up, stayed the same versus last quarter?
We've not really spoken about sales cycle. This thing I said in a few industries, especially retail, etc., we had said it was a bit slower than what we expected, and that's what I commented, saying that compared to that, retail is coming off that and likely to report a better growth
stand. I haven't commented on Japan specifically, but any update there?
No, Japan is growing. Technically, it will probably register a growth that is slightly better than the overall average, but we are talking of much smaller numbers. So to that extent, it's growing. And there's a bit of currency volatility there. On a currency adjusted basis, it is growing. Actually, on a reported currency basis, it will probably do slightly better also. Give us a year, man. We just flushed out in 9 months back. But technically, no change was at a strategy level. Subject, of course, to the board and the overall decision. But as of now, no anticipated change in the overall strategy.
Rajesh, the Jan-Feb thing which you just mentioned, could it be just a temporary phenomenon because in U.S. most retail auto companies are, because of the cold weather, they have missed numbers? So
see, that's why we don't, I didn't expand much on it. Because, so actually, if you look at it, retail and manufacturing is doing better for us. Whereas you would expect that something like that will, so difficult to pinpoint and say that this is due to this or that. It is slightly weaker. We're doing better, but then these were the ones that didn't do that well because there were furloughs, etc., and all in them in last quarter.
Right, right.
So, you know, by the time, with such small numbers, after you stripped everything and sterilized everything, then you don't know really what trend to talk about. So, because these were the sectors that were most impacted last quarter because of the normal seasonal furlough effect. So some of that positivity is also there. But yes, there is some amount of, definitely there should be some amount of impact due to the other aspects of it. It's very difficult for us to, on a very small number, to get into hair splitting on it.
Energy segment, has it, has the sentiment worsened from last quarter, or is it the same kind of?
No, it has. I don't know whether we should say sentiment has worsened, but definitely the on-ground activity has actually significantly come down. So we are looking at negative growth, significant degrowth, and not necessarily entirely unanticipated from last quarter, but it has kept on picking up momentum in the negative direction. Probably it will be some time before it finds a base somewhere.
Rajesh, just a question, not necessarily on this quarter per se, but you have mentioned the target EBIT margin band is unchanged. So if I look at the last 3-4 years since you have had this 26 to 28% band, currency has obviously been significantly in favor last 3-4 years. Your utilization has moved up quite significantly over the same period. So when we look out, say, the next year or so or a couple of years, whatever time frame you are comfortable talking about, what are the positive drivers for margins from here, despite the wage hikes and all constant currency basis?
Again, this is not the forum to get into it, but over that period, you also saw it going up about 30%. And as we have said, that we will essentially calibrate our incremental investments into some of these markets or deals which have a challenging margin profile initially, and we'll calibrate those investments based on the headroom that we have, and that we will work within the target, and if it is, the target is breached in either direction structurally, we'll come back to you. And we have done that. So we have essentially taken that. Initially, you saw it, the entire currency impact flow through. We reported in certain quarters 300 plus basis point improvement. And we've taken that and reinvested it into growth initiatives in various both geographical lines as well as service lines. And from a strategy perspective, the intention is to continue to support that, those initiatives which are already on the ground, and they are long cycle initiatives. We closely monitoring the currency situation. The continued weakness in the Eurozone definitely will have a impact on the margin line. And we'll have to essentially wait and see whether we change any of our strategic calibrations based on that. So that's why currently it is unchanged. Either if we continue to remain aggressive, and that if that is going to put significant impact on the margin side of it, we'll come back and talk about it. As of now, we think that it is in a level where, because actually it is the cross-currency volatility, going back to what Anand had asked in the beginning, the entire revenue side is not playing down into the margin side because it depends on how much you are offshore. You know, if I'm not as heavily offshore in the place where actually I have the maximum depreciation, then the relative impact is lesser than the positive I get in a place where I'm significantly more offshore. So a slightly more better currency there actually gives me a much better offset. So there are multiple things at play. But we will essentially use this as one of the big decision drivers, that if it gets this thing, either we communicate or we calibrate, one way or the other we'll talk about it.
At the
this point of time, none of your investments have been cut back or scaled because of the cross-currency impact at margin level?
That's right. So we continue to fully support all the big initiatives. So whether it be France and Japan on the geographical side, or it be digital and continuing investment into the various side of it, all of that we are continuing to fully fund and fully support. And there's no change in strategy based on this as of now.
So just on the large outsourcing deals now, if you look at, there are more players who are now getting into that kind of a deal wins versus earlier being concentrated in few hands, including TCS. So do you see that there is a pricing discipline which is getting disturbed, or how is it?
No, in fact, if you look at it structurally, the industry is consolidating more and more towards a fewer of the larger players. So actually, at an overall aggregated basis, it is towards further consolidation rather than towards further fragmentation. Tactically, in a given geography or in a given service line, there might be increase or decrease in competitive play. But actually, what you're seeing on the ground, and the numbers will also show that, it is getting more and more concentrated. And we think structurally that will continue. The industry will consolidate more and more towards the larger place.
In terms of pipeline of large outsourcing deals, like today versus last year, how is it in terms of first time plus renewal?
There has been a big step up due to business coming out of Europe, because there is a lot of new deals there over the course of the last year or so. Other than that, no major change. Europe continues to see momentum, deal momentum, and this thing. Other markets, no major change one way or the other.
Do you see any need for large capex in data centers all over the world? You know, like somebody like HP, recently they want to deal with Deutsche Bank, and they attributed this to their capability to have data centers across. So do you think that's necessary for you in infrastructure services or large deals going forward?
Our infrastructure strategy is primarily asset light, with essentially a services layer on top. We see ourselves providing a services layer on top of a utility data center compute facility provider. And as of now, no change to that strategy. But it's a fairly rapidly evolving space. And we do have tactical investments in that in all over the world. We don't think that at a strategy level as of now, we don't anticipate ourselves moving into that space in a big way. But, obviously, it's a fairly rapidly evolving space. And we'll keep options open. As of now, the intention is a pure services overlay on top of somebody else who provides a compute layer. And we believe the compute layer will be a utility over time.
Just a follow-up to this question. So has the competitive landscape in the IMS services component further intensified, or how is competition in that space?
That space was concentrated in the hands of a few players internationally, and some of them are structurally very weak, and it is getting fragmented, and more players are coming in. So, yes, there is greater participation by other pure service players into that space. But I think that is more than offset by the increasing business that is coming. I think it is getting referred to as the renewal cycle or whichever, but essentially think of it that there are a lot of incumbent contracts. As each of these contracts come in for renewal, it is up in play with a lot many more players than what it used to be earlier. So overall, the flow of new deals far exceeds the increased intensity.
Trying to fish for a guidance into FY16, but looks like as you're entering the year,
trade bad, soft hands will not hit. So you could try.
But you seem to be ending the year with more challenges and more verticals this year than last year.
This year versus last year, we'll talk about it after the year unfolds. We spoke about it based on anticipation last year, and obviously it turned out that things didn't quite think. So let's wait for it to let's get a bit more of clarity, then we will talk about it. If it's safer for us, safer for you.
you've called out weakness in Diligent and insurance. I thought that the weakness in insurance was on account of Diligent. I didn't know that there was...
No. It's pretty widespread. Diligent, we have called out specifically as a more concentrated one at that thin level. But at the overall level, industry-wide, there is a weakness in insurance. We are seeing a softness in insurance. Diligent, we are talking about actual degrowth because of the cycle of that deal going through. So that's a more specific one, but at the industry level, we see softness.
So I understand Diligent is a deal-specific thing. We understand energy as well. Why is this happening in insurance? Why do you think it's happening in insurance?
Good question. Actually, it's a question that many people are struggling within the industry itself. Difficult to say. Partially, it is impacted due to the whole annuity space going through a big churn in terms of it's more difficult for them to actually deliver on it. Is it seeing a net growth? So the whole annuity space is structurally challenged and constrained. And partially, in terms of there is some amount of lag effect probably coming in due to the lack of investment cycle, which is driving into the actual PNC side of it. But actually, at an industry level, there is no clear indication. But definitely, there is. It was actually out of the financial cycle. It was one of the industries that did better. But then over the last 2-3 years, you're seeing it slow down, especially over the last couple of years. There seems to be a structural slowdown.
Thank you.
No more questions? Okay, then with that, we conclude today's business update. And those in the room, please join us upstairs.